use in class.
I had produced a series a couple of weeks ago, some lessons ago. 10 plagues on Egypt. There was Pharaoh doing his own bidding and that of Satan. Pharaoh put in physical bondage God's people in slavery. We ought to know that if we are slaves to sin, if we are doing the will of Satan, we're serving one master or the other. If it's God and we are doing righteous or righteousness, doing the deeds of repentance, God is the one whom we serve, that is our master. We do not want to be on the other side. Most people find that, draw people toward that. Let us be a light in the world, as Jesus said, commended and commanded of his disciples. You are the light of the world. Let that light so shine. There are 10 plagues or things plaguing the church that I wanted to bring forward to you. We're on number 4. These things existed in old times, Old Testament times. They were in Jesus' times and throughout the establishment of the Lord's body, which is the church. Why would any of us think that they are gone today? The ecclesiastical preacher taught and wrote Solomon. There's nothing new under the sun. He who has an ear, let him hear. I started with allurement, the allurement or enticement, attractiveness of sin. Some are drawn away with apathy. Don't care ends up becoming, won't do, or can't discern often. Atrophy, weakness, just as the body will grow weak from lack of training, lack of work, lack of exercises, so the mind and the spirit can do the same. Let not atrophy of our hearts and minds be counted among us. I can think of very little that will damage any organization more than the theme for this morning. That is backed by you. I said any organization. What would this world be like? What would business be like? What would schools be like? What would government be like? If the goal were to make everyone go forward and improve morally, in the truth, in productivity, in spirit, what would be better than having people go and ask rather than demand, ask a favor rather than demanding or commanding? Pointing out a small thing, keeping it small. Keep small matters small, large matters large. How much different would that be? There's an old saying in business that I heard, and that was, the one with the marker, and nowadays it tends to be the pointer, used to be the chalk, is the one making the most money. I don't know if I can exactly say that, but if you go to a lecture series, that's probably true, okay? Here's the bigger point. In education, young men, young ladies, if you've got a difficulty with a teacher, with your grading, you've got a question, how did I get a C instead of a B or an A? I turned that in, where's my grade? Whatever. The best thing you can do is go to that teacher. One of the worst things you can do is go over her or his head. chew out the teacher in the principal's presence. That's not just me speaking, because I've been in both seats. I'm a teacher and building administrator. It's better to go to the person. Ask the question, what happened? Did you get that? Many times there is an answer for it. Not an excuse. Okay, I just haven't entered your grade yet, Davey. Okay? If you think this is not on topic, what is backbiting? Those are more from seeing. Hang on to that thought. The marching band. I told Damien this morning before Bible study, and Xander, make sure you pay attention to this one. The story goes, it's a joke, mad joke. The story goes that there was a marching band. We'll make this about Damien. And they go out at halftime, and they've got a pretty good band. Better than the one from my hometown. Afterwards, after the game, Roy goes up to Damien and says, I'm really proud of the son. Everybody marched out of step with you. Everybody was out of tune with you. Everybody played the wrong song with you. Getting the point right. What's that got to do with backbiting? Well, the key point. It's best to go to the one who can make the difference. If the teacher has made a mistake, if the band director is the one who made the mistake, if the marching band player has made the mistake, it is better to go to that person to correct that person. And do so as kindly as you can. This is not something new about the Zanesville Church. This is something that I have observed in business, in school, in administration, in the Lord's Church. We don't want this to be counted among us. So, sometimes, if we can go and say, Damien, you were about a half step off tonight. Still proud of you. Try to work on that. Work on your rhythm and work on your step. You know, often these things come from conceit. And I looked up, is there a difference between conceit and arrogance? Well, Webster seemed to think so. Conceit was a puffed up attitude about oneself. Arrogance, it added in the component of putting others down and destroying others. We need not be either of those. Have you ever noticed that sometimes people become more emboldened? Okay, passive aggressive behavior. They become more emboldened. So I got away with this, the next time it's double. The next time it's quadruple. The next time it's double that. It's exponentially growing. Okay. Sometimes people are emboldened by gaslight. It's a phrase that came from the movie Gaslight. Ingrid Bergman was the one being gaslighted. That is when others are trying to manipulate or control by making the individual feel guilty and incapable, making the individual feel incapable of making rational, correct decisions. Maybe you've seen that. A sister told us, a sister in Christ, in our living room, tearfully said that she was dealing with that where she worked. And had worked regardless, but it got so bad that then others question her ability to make the decisions that are there as well. These things can be very damaging. Refusing to listen and the failure to stop. It's a vicious cycle because it feeds into itself. Now, again, if you think I'm wrong, the word backbiting is in the Bible. So is arrogance, so is backsliding, so is conceit, so is the prescription, which we will get to later. I've designed these lessons to be a heavy, hard impact on where the sin is, and then tell you the avenue of escape that God has provided along with that temptation. I found this in my research. At first, it looks like the man with the bow and the arrow is taking aim at the guy with the sword. They're both after the man, the gentleman, who is trying to live an upright life. Not my picture. Backbiting or tail bearing is to slander someone in their absence, to bite them behind their back. Originally, backbiting referred to an unsporting attack from the rear in the blood sport of bear baiting. Had not heard of bear baiting before. So, I thought of this. Outflanking does not mean outranking. It is a strategy to defeat the enemy. It's not a good strategy for building up your sister or taking care of your brother. On a field of battle, outflanking to come round. Watch your flank. Have you got my six? Have you got my back? This is the opposite. It is attacking from the side and round the rear. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. Matthew 15:19. Slanders. King James uses the word more often backbiting than does say the New American Standard. Romans 1:30, slanderers, backbiting. Haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedience to parents. These thoughts come from the heart. One of my favorite passages, I hope it becomes your favorite too, one of yours. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew within us a right spirit. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, for I am afraid that perhaps when I come, this is Paul writing, I may find you to be not what I wish, and maybe found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. Am I right? Do you hear? Am I right when I'm saying what the gospel says? Do you see the words arrogance and slander is coming up in the same several times or a couple of times already in the same scriptures? We must guard against this, pray about it, pray for others, pray for those, bless those who curse us. Continue. Here's the best solution. Here's what to do if somebody's marching out there and he's the only one. Okay? Matthew 18:15-17. If your brother sins, that's if it's a sin, not a misstep. Know the difference. You wrote one instead of two. Know the difference. There are mistakes, there are sins. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Go one-on-one, privately, privily. Take two or three more. Bring it before the church. I'm afraid that many people in the world that sadly appear in the Lord's church have it upside down. They start with everybody. Do you realize that on the word of a person, someone can be condemned in civil law? Have you ever had this happen to you? Sometimes we have. Here is one of the classic examples. I know myself, my experience is a little better than I know yours. Maybe you can think of an example too. When I was lying about in the office, and it was provable that I was in the right and the student was lying, it was provable that the student had hit me and not the other way around. It seems that some teenagers don't realize yet that there's closed circuit TV all over the place. Well, that's a good issue. Big brother watching. So I said, well, but you know what? The damage was already done. Not with the assistant principal, but to anybody that heard the slander was not there to see. You see what I mean? Not there to see that Mr. Householder was telling the truth. So maybe you can think of examples where you have been in the right, someone else or something else in the wrong. And there was ample proof, simple proof sometimes. Why to bring this up? If this had been done, that whole scenario could have been missed or skipped over. And I see some of you nodding your heads. So some of you, maybe all, understand, can relate and see the application. On the flip side, if I've made a mistake, would it be better to come and ask? If the mistake was mine, my promise was always, if the mistake is mine, if it is a mistake, you gave me a meeting, I should have had an A. No, I can give you the math. You gave me a meeting, I should have had an A. Let's take a look at it. You're right, I will change. It was because of this right here. If it was my mistake, I never held the other party, the other person, responsible for my mistake. What would we be like, just as a church, let alone a nation, if we went to one another and practiced this? If we went one-on-one. Another problem with backbiting is often it brings with it an ascription of motive. Do not place a motive on somebody for doing something. Start cutting off on the way into the parking lot. She does not care about my well-being and safety. Find out later that she had a seizure in her hand or muscular twitch and it affected her right. You see, be careful, be extremely careful about ascribing motive, especially this, when you have no clue. The best way I know of to avoid it is to ask a question. Are you aware? Maybe she's on the way. I didn't see you. I didn't see you. Or I had a physical problem. Why is that important then? Is it true? Is it in the scripture? Why is it important? How does this apply? We would be much better if we go and ask a question. Here's another form. You never do this, Nate. You never do A, B, and C. Won't I look embarrassed then if Nate says I have actually done A, B, and C, and also 1, 2, 3? So it would have been better had I asked you to begin. All right. I will repeat, I can think of nothing or very little that hurts an organization or prevents them from moving forward than conceit, which is driving, backbiting, and tearing people down. All right. The remedy, the previous slide was the best. 2 Corinthians 12:20, for I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you. Or indeed, I have declared you on the way. Strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, and arrogance are in here, as well as gossiping disturbances. So, tell it to the church. Some start here. They start at that point. They get on the PA to say, in other words, the public service and ones, yes. And that would be the first step, go privately. Some refuse any word, a description, or explanation. I'm not talking about an excuse for standing. If you don't have the prerequisite information, you cannot provide a report on that information. That's business, that's math, that's life, that's school, that's teaching, that's preaching. Without the information, you cannot create a report on the information. So saying, sir, ma'am, I do not have the information to go in and report is being responsible. I cannot assign my name to something. Be like-minded, go and be the same. So it would be better to ask for that than to try to provide false report. And I get to this point at the bottom, how will you know if you were wrong? Well, you are. We all have to have an open mind and open heart. Ask. And if you are wrong and he is right, how will you know if you refuse to listen? Some things are wrong and sinful that the individual does. Still others are perceptions or, well, that's what I heard. We heard you got fired. I had actually just received a 3-year contract. We heard you got fired. It was all over the school. The principal did not bother to tell the woman who started it. He knew where it started. He didn't bother to tell her. Not only is that true, ma'am, but Mr. Householder has just received a continuing contract. What's that got to do with the church? Mark, come on. Well, can you imagine? What happens if you're slandering someone? Well, that's what I heard. I heard that not truly. That's what I heard too. That's what I heard. And it goes all over the place. Would anyone be kind enough, loving enough, Christ-like enough to ask, is that true? Jesus says, no. Is it? Sometimes things are a mistake that is then repeated. What happens if you have 1-point error, $1 error? You multiply 1,000 times, you've got a $1,000 error. That's math, that's life, that's business, that's finance. Then you're all the time watching. 39 trillion? Okay. How will we know if you're wrong? We won't know unless we are receiving the message. he who has an ear, let him hear. So let's listen to one another. Let us. Let's listen to our neighbors and try to get really to the root of the problem. How do we know if you're wrong? That the Pharisees' rebuke does not mean that Jesus sinned, does it? There are people who go like, that's what I heard. That's what the intelligentsia said. That's what's trending. That's what was on there. That was the report we got. Didn't they do that to Jesus? Didn't they do it to the apostles? How will you know the difference? You have to listen. Even a criminal has a right to speak. That's someone guilty as charged. So if you don't want to be on the receiving end, don't be on the passing end of that problem. Don't throw that out if you don't want to be on the receiving end of it. So let's listen to our neighbors and ask questions. That's not condoning sin. It's asking why you do who may be received. Okay. When we are slandered, 1 Corinthians 4:13, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world. We dregs of all things even until now. And Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Malice aforethought is beforehand having the desire to do ill to the other person. Let us get rid of malice as well. 1 Peter 2:1 and verse 12 also. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and evil and all slander, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing which they slander as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Folks, there it is. If we are guilty as charged, then we're guilty as charged. And the Bible deals with that. Right? This is talking about keeping our behavior excellent, better than the lost, better than the Gentiles. So when they slander you unrighteously, slander is a righteous judgment, isn't it? Because of your good deeds, as they observe them, they will glorify God. Isn't that what a chaste woman is to do with her chaste behavior before her unbelieving or unfaithful husband to change his mind? Men, are we not to do the same when we are out among the people who are still lost? We have to do it better than they do it. Otherwise, what's the difference? Why do I come out of the world and be treated worse? We don't want that to be none of the moments. So 1 Peter 3:16, keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it's God's will that by doing good you would silence the evil talk of the foolish man. It's in there. Okay? These are ways out of the problem. If we suffer for something we haven't done, and we keep that cool, we are earning, let me use a human term, we're earning points with God. We are earning favor before the Lord. If we are punished for what we did wrong or for a sin that we did commit, that's justice. We are being punished for what we did. Unrighteous punishment, though, if we bear up under it, it builds perseverance. And we've all dealt with things that I'm not just talking about, that's not fair. She got two, I got one. She got better candy than I did. No, and I'm not talking about that. Your school had a better library than we did. We he or she ever does. That's not fair. That's not what I mean. I'm talking righteous and unrighteous. There's a difference. Okay? So, let us bear up under it. Go back to that marching band example. Are you going the wrong way? This is what we need to ask ourselves, though, if we go to prayer. Take heed lest you fall. So are we the ones going the wrong way? You know, there was a scene in a comedy movie many years ago. Why is everybody else going the wrong way on the highway? Well, it was the driver who was asking, how do they know where we're supposed to go? Well, they know you're going the wrong way. How would they know? Because they are going the right way. Know that the struggle, what it is, and that the struggle is real. What a blessing to be able to read this. If we are in Christ Jesus, if we are being a righteous, godly person, we have this blessing. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Then you might think, then how did they put Christ Jesus to death? Did they destroy him? Did he have the victory in the end? He can't have the victory over death unless he dies. Think about it. It's a sad situation that our sins put in there. Were there revilers, slammers, and evil speakers of Jesus? Yes. There's the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil, brothers and sisters, but overcome the evil with good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7. Don't be foolish. Be loving kind one to another. What will our answers be? We have a choice before us every day, but we have mind, heart, and breath. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus that can make you holy and clean. Won't you come and help us in the same way?